Welcome to Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio that takes a closer look at news and sports in Garland County.
August 2nd, the Hot Springs Board of Directors lowered the cap on short-term residential rental business licenses in a year from 500 down to 400. The decision faced some opposition, with one board member, District 1 Director Aaron Holliday, voting against. Adding to the controversy is the debate surrounding the board's role in the appeals process. The Sentinel Records' David Showers, the primary reporter on the topic, is here to offer his insight on the situation. Welcome, David. The Hot Springs Board of Directors recently voted to lower the annual cap on vacation rentals in areas zoned for residential use. How many short-term rental business licenses will the city be able to issue in a calendar year?
Well, right now they can issue up to 500. This is in residential areas only. That's important to note. In areas that are zoned for commercial use, there's no cap. But in the areas that are residentially zoned, in this current year, 2022, there can be up to 500 STR business licenses. But starting next year, in 2023, there can only be 400 licenses for that are active. They can't issue 400 licenses every year. That's the total amount there can be in 2023 in a residential zone, 400.
Okay, so I guess that kind of touches on our next one. When does the new cap take effect? Is that 2023, right?
Well, the way the city does their business licenses, you're not really, I think you have up until the end of March to pay for, like in 2022, I think this is right. If you had a business license in 2022 for any kind of business, I don't think, let me say that again. Your 2023 business license, you don't really have to have all your paperwork in until the end of March, and you don't become, I guess, delinquent or lose a license until May. So what part of that ordinance the city passed last week was they said by November 1st, everybody who wants a special use permit, you know, this is the permit that you have to get a short-term, an STR business license in a residential zone. If you want to get a special use permit for 2022, you have to apply by November 1st. And if you meet that cutoff, that's going to allow you to apply for a 2023 license. So the way that they're going to renew licenses is do it by ones that are already existing. Those are going to have priority over people coming in for a new license. It's really, somebody said this is a pile of coat hangers. It's pretty complicated, and you can tell the city has been working on this since, I think, early 2021, and it's pretty fluid and dynamic. I think they've probably amended their STR regulations at least a half a dozen times or more since then, just to keep up with how fluid the situation is.
What is the city board's reasoning in lowering the STR cap in areas zoned for residential use?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I think the board thinks a lot of this ties in to the shortage of not even affordable housing, but just housing in general. I think they even have a report that they did for their CDBG program for 2018, talking about how, you know, short-term rentals are one of the impediments to fair housing. How big of an impediment is that? I don't know. The director who voted against the lowering the cap last night, Director Holliday, she lives up in her district is District 1 in the Whittington and Park area. And, you know, she said that STRs have been a big boon up there because it's incentivized people to revitalize the housing stock up there. I think she told the board that a developer or a house flipper or whatever you call these guys, they're not going to come in and spend all this money to fix up a house so they can charge $700 a month in rent to a long-term renter. You know, I guess the cash flow, or to make it pencil, they need to turn it into a vacation rental for at least a certain amount of time. And she said, you know, a lot of these new renovated homes are being fixed up for vacation rentals, but eventually she thinks that they're going to become houses for people to live in for people who live here, residents to live in. And then you got the other side of the argument, the people who live in the more affluent neighborhoods, they've seen these STRs just kind of pop up out of nowhere. It's kind of funny. We were talking the other day in the newsroom. If you would have said, ask somebody what an STR is 2 years ago, nobody would know. They would think it would be like some kind of medical condition or syndrome. But now we all know what an STR is. So they've seen all these STRs pop up in their nice neighborhoods. And I guess, you know, some of the people who rent these maybe aren't the best of neighbors, the best of tenants. And, you know, they kind of think that it's brought the city's tourism economy right to their front door, and they don't like it. So those are kind of the two arguments. Is it an impediment to fair housing? And then you have people who live in affluent neighborhoods who don't like it. But what's interesting, at the board's workshop on Saturday, the nonprofit that does their CDBG program does all the paperwork for them. And I think the city's getting ready to contract him to do like a housing strategy, create a strategy to create more affordable housing. The numbers he put up kind of show that it's a structural problem within the economy to why there's a housing shortage. He said, according to the 2021 census, you know, more than a fifth of the people in Hot Springs live below the poverty line. And the fair market rent for a two-bedroom home here in town is $807 a month. For a resident making state minimum wage, $11 an hour, they have to work 43 hours minimum per week to afford fair market rent. So he talks about how our economy is a service economy, and you've got a lot of low-paying jobs, and that's what makes it difficult for people to afford fair housing. So it's interesting how this is kind of, I guess, weaved in with the whole discussion taking place all over the country about why there's no affordable housing, or in some instances, why there's no just housing in general.
You touched on it briefly just a second ago, but what can you tell me about the STR ordinance that was adopted last year?
Last year? Well, that kind of set the whole rules of the road for this new business idea that's just popped up, this disruptive business idea that's kind of, I guess, caught everybody off guard. People don't stay in hotels anymore when they go on vacation. They want to stay in houses, right? So that kind of set the rules of the road, what you can do, set the cap on occupancy. I think that it's been amended several times, but you can have overnight guests, you can have two per bedroom plus two. So if you have a three-bedroom vacation rental, you could have eight people, eight overnight occupants. And then during the day, you can have your maximum overnight occupancy plus 50%. So in a three-bedroom house, that would be, 12 people? You could have up to 12 people there during the day. And, you know, it set a lot of other rules, like, you know, parking, how many parking spaces do you have to have? You have to have a 24-hour contact who, that person, you know, has to be there within an hour if there's an issue. And it set up the idea that you have to have an annual inspection to get your license renewed. And I think that these inspections are pretty rigorous, maybe, you know, close to like what a hotel would go through. And, you know, I think a lot of people are having trouble meeting what they have to do to pass inspection, given that it's so hard to get building supplies and building materials right now. And I think that's what a lot of people are upset about, is that they've made investments into properties that they're going to turn into STRs, and, you know, they can't get the things that they need right now to pass inspection. But you've got this November 1st deadline looming, and I think there's 350 roughly current licenses out there in residential areas. So there's only about, you know, 50 left to apply for before that November 1st deadline. And if you don't get in by that November 1 deadline, then, you know, it's probably going to make it harder for you to get a 2023 license.
And you mentioned District 1 Director Erin Holliday. She opposed the lowering of the cap. Was there any specific reasons that she gave? She was the only city board member that actually opposed.
Well, she thinks they've been, you know, really good for her district. You know, since I've started working here 8 years ago, you know, everybody always talks about how the Park Whittington area has really come up from what it was in the 90s. And here of late, she thinks that STRs are a big reason that a lot of the housing stock there has been fixed up, remodeled. So she thinks, you know, lowering that cap sends a message that this isn't an STR-friendly place, so you're discouraging those investment dollars coming in here and fixing up your housing stock.
Inside the Newsroom is sponsored by Reiser Ford and Lincoln. On the hunt for a new truck or car, stop by 4201 Central Avenue in Hot Springs today or call 501-525-0800 today for all your truck and car needs. District 1 Director Aaron Holliday also voted against inserting the board into the appeals process. What makes the board's role in the appeals process controversial? And how does the difference between a conditional use permit and a special use permit factor into that?
Another big part of the ordinance that was passed the other night was it's going to put the board, the city board of directors, the elected officials here that set policy inside the city of Hot Springs, they're going to be part of the appeal process now. So the way it's set up, and this part will remain, is if there's a special use permit issued, and this is what you need to get an STR in a residential area, somebody can appeal that decision to the Board of Zoning Adjustment. These are people who are appointed by the board. And this Board of Zoning Adjustment has a really, I guess, what we call it, narrow standard of review. There's not really much they can look at. So even if you do appeal to them, you know, it's not likely to get overturned. I think they've heard two appeals of STR licenses that have been issued. And, you know, they've agreed to issue the license in both instances. So some people seem to think if you put the board in between the BZA and circuit court, that the board would have more leeway to consider, well, does an STR really fit in this neighborhood? Are there too many in this neighborhood? So people think that they'll have more leeway, more latitude than the Board of Zoning Adjustment to rule on appeals. But you know, Director Holliday really pressed this point with the city attorney, saying, you know, what's our standard of review? Are we going to have any more latitude or runway to rule on things? Are we going to be able to consider subjective things like, does this fit in the neighborhood? Things like that. And, you know, the city attorney told her, you know, not really. The standard of review is very narrow. So she was kind of thinking, well, why are we putting the board in this process when they're really not much they can do? And, you know, when you put the board into the appeals process, if maybe like a constituent comes and talks to them about the appeal beforehand, that's what they call ex parte information. So that director would have to recuse from the appeal vote. And she seems to think that it's not worth the price of including the board in the appeals decision when there's not really much the board can do, that the BZA didn't. She thinks that's too steep of a price to pay for, you know, having to recuse from a vote and not being able to talk to the people who elected you. The conditional use and special use permit. Conditional use, that's what you have to get when you want to do something in your zoning district that's not permitted by right. You can go onto the city code and they have this big table of uses. It's kind of like a spreadsheet. It shows like a daycare. And it'll show you in each one of the zones, is that a permitted use, permitted by right, or is it a conditional use or not at all? If there's a conditional use in that area, you have to go to the Planning Commission and say, well, I want to do this, and here's what I'll do to, I guess, mitigate the effects of this action here that's not permitted by right in my zoning district. And initially, that was the way that the city was going to set up the issuing STR licenses in residential areas, do it through that conditional use process, which come to find out has a lot more rigorous notification requirements than the special use permit process that was created specifically to license STRs in a residential area. It didn't exist until, I guess, pretty much earlier this year. And so the conditional use, those, if somebody appeals a conditional use issued by the Planning Commission, that gets appealed to the board. And they're under that same prohibition on ex parte information that they are on the special use permit. So that also creates the issue of directors having to recuse if they've talked to a constituent beforehand, or there's even been an instance where a director's gone out and looked at the site where the conditional use has been applied for before the board meeting, and he's had to recuse. So, but there seems to be some thought that the board would, if it were under a conditional use process, the board would have more leeway to see how it affects the neighboring properties. The Planning Commission, by in the city code, it says that it can consider how that conditional use affects neighboring properties. So there's kind of a subjective layer to it there, where people can kind of, I guess, do an eye test and say, does this fit or does this not? But getting the board out of the appeals process was one of the reasons that they came up with this special use permit, because the city attorney really didn't want the board to be involved because of the whole recusal thing. And a conditional use permit, you know, runs with the land. Once you get, if you got one for your house or your property to do something that's conditional in your zoning district, you know, it would transfer to the next owner. Whereas a special use permit, you know, if that property changes hands, the permit doesn't change hands with the new owner. So that's one of the reasons why I think the city wanted to go with the special use permit. And putting themselves back into the appeals process is kind of a way to make it sort of like a conditional use. But it'll be interesting to see when that first special use appeal comes to the board. Are they just going to be able to look at the code, you know, very narrowly, or are they going to be able to look at subjective things?
And has the city board's decision to lower the STR cap received criticism or favor from the residents of Hot Springs?
Well, I think the people who live in nice neighborhoods where these STRs have popped up, yeah, they like it. But obviously the people who make a living operating vacation rentals in their homes, you know, they don't like it. They've probably been the most vocal to the city getting into the STR regulatory business. Because, you know, out in the county, there was some discussion last year. They had some meetings about trying to do something. Nothing is, you know, detailed as the city, but just to have a basic registry, or the whole contact, the 24-hour contact, to where they would have a registry of the STRs, and if the deputy went out there on a noise call, he could go, okay, this is a contact person for this STR. And the county wanted no part of it. The JP's on the quorum court. It's like, you know, we already have all of the ordinances we need to regulate this. We've got a noise ordinance when people get out of control. And I think the one thing that they did do in the county in response to this was they passed an ordinance that you can't really park your car on the side of a county right-of-way anymore, because that's another safety issue. Is if there's a big party, one of these STRs has a big party and there's cars everywhere, and, you know, somebody could get blocked into their driveway, and, you know, what if there's an emergency and they have to go somewhere? So that was one issue the county did address in terms of STRs. But I think when the new quorum court comes into office here in January, I think the county judge will probably try to get some kind of regulations on vacation rentals out in the unincorporated area.
Well, I think that's all the questions we've got today, unless you've got something else to add.
I don't think so.
Well, thank you again, David, for coming in today.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
This has been an episode of Inside the Newsroom from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. New episodes are released every Thursday. Thank you for listening.